You know, sometimes technology can suck eggs, because this is actually the second take of a podcast that I was supposed to do 2 weeks ago with a very special guest, but unfortunately, technology failed me, so here we are, starting all over again. But I'm glad you came back for this second take, so I guess before we start this episode, don't give me a beat, just give me some sort of flow. Brother, look around, can't you see all the possibilities in we, you and me, to the bang boogie, up jump the boogie, to the boogie, to the boogie, DB, I'm an MC, I spent 3 years in Mickey D's cleaning dishes, half of that time was making wishes, one of the hit switches in the brand new six buck, but all I could afford was the number nine at Roscoe for chicken and waffles, how about that Honda Accord, used to watch them drive by at night till I got bored, but not no more, really that's for sure, cause I got a million honeys knocking on my door. And I'm not trying to score with one, cause disease is killing, that's ill to make a million and you getting done. When you on top of the world, girls may come, but when you fall down, you won't find one. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. Humans of all ages, my name is Ray Ray and I'm the guy on the top of the stairs. You are listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental, episode 76. It is actually a second attempt on doing episode number 76. Because technology failed me the first time around. We tried to record an episode 2 weeks ago. It failed. That's all I'll say about it. It's a lost episode. So if you want it, I guess you can request it from me personally. Or something like that. Anyway, if you've never listened to Ray Ray's Fundamental, this used to be a basketball podcast. Now I'm talking about whatever I want. Because I want to evolve in just being a basketball podcaster. Slash talker. Slash pundit. Slash wannabe expert or whatever, but we are going to talk ball here because that's what we specialize on and that's what I'm really known for. For this episode, our guest is the excellent Whitney Medworth. She works for SB Nation for the NBA section, just does, you know, the usual stories, the hijinks, the gifts, the YouTube videos, the highlights, whatever's good about the NBA basically. So she joins me and the greatest storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby. I don't want to waste your time anymore, so we're going to go ahead and get to the talk. It's very interesting because we go over NBA players resting and the evolution of basketball Twitter, which I find really interesting since I've been there basically from the start. And so has Whitney. And so has Adam. So, that's it. I'm done here. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 76. Take two. So what happened 2 weeks ago was I was actually recording, we were actually recording this podcast, and it just went down the toilet. It came out really, really bad. So we're doing this again. Always with me, the greatest storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby.
Doors go up, doors go down, that's what garage doors do.
How do you feel right now, man?
Not only do I have Boris Diaw on national television tonight, but this is a special episode. So since we're all on it, I guess that makes us all 76ers. Like the basketball team.
Yeah, I know. Which one of us to be Joel Embiid?
Actually, my foot's been hurting for about a month, so I'm not even making that part up. That's true. So. I will be the Embiid.
So which one of us can be Ben Simmons?
Oh, is he the foot too? Yeah.
they're all the injury.
They're all hurt. And joining us, thank you for being so patient, but SB Nation's Whitney Medworth was with us 2 weeks ago, but again, the episode never came out, so here we are. It sucks, but hey, we're all together, so that's good news, right?
Yeah, I'm going to count it as my second podcast.
Okay, we'll do that.
Even though it's technically the first, I feel like we're old friends now.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, I've been old friends with Whitney for how long now? 8 years now, basically?
I think so. You're the first person I ever followed on basketball Twitter, so.
Yeah, I know, because.
You're like a legend or something.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Like, it's almost like I'm still kind of like hanging on to this or something, right? I don't know. I guess that's how I look at it. But
aren't we all?
Yeah, that's true. So 2 weeks ago, I was giving Whitney crap because people know her as a Pacers fan, But when I first started talking to Whitney, we're all about, yeah, go Lakers!
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, so we all want to know how you made that transition from Lakers fan to Pacers fan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so busted. When I joined Twitter, I obviously followed Ray Ray, because I was hopping on Twitter to get more information about the Lakers. Grew up a Kobe fan, and around the time, actually, it happened all about the same time. Around the time Twitter was getting a little more popular and I was following the Lakers, I was living in Indianapolis because that's where I'm from. And the Pacers were really bad. They were led by Troy Murphy and a decent Danny Granger, and Jim O'Brien was the coach, and they were terrible.
I wish that were his nickname, though. What if he always went by Decent Danny Granger?
I just made that up on the fly. It's pretty good. It's
Decent,
pretty
accurate. That is pretty good.
It's pretty accurate.
That is pretty good,
yeah. So on Twitter, the Pacers VP of tickets, I think he was VP of ticket sales at the time, every night would – and this is when Twitter was so different. I know we talked about this last time, but the evolution of basketball Twitter is a topic of itself. But Twitter was really different back then, and this guy, he would tweet out before nearly every home game. So if there's like a road game before or something, he would tweet out and say, if you could tweet me with Pacers leading scorer for tonight, guess the Pacers leading scorer, we'll give you 2 free tickets to the next home game. So my best friend and I, since the Pacers were pretty bad, you could either guess that Troy Murphy or Danny Granger was going to be the leading scorer. So we would both pick one, and we would virtually always win the tickets. And they would give them out to everybody that guessed the person right. It wasn't just us. There was a whole group of us going. And so we got free tickets to almost an entire season. And from there, I slowly turned into a Pacers fan, and luckily it was right there for the rise of Paul George. And I obviously followed Kobe and the Lakers still, but it kind of was weird because as Kobe kind of faded away, the Pacers were kind of growing at the same time, and so it made the transition easier. They only played twice a year, so I didn't have to make decisions too many times.
You actually went for a team where Troy Murphy was the leading scorer of a team.
Yeah, so like, I had like a gift card or something. I'm not sure what it was. There was some reason that we were going to the Pacers home court gift shop with like the intent of buying something. Like I knew that I was buying something. And I remember we went in there and we were looking at the jerseys. Again, this is back when I would buy a jersey. I wouldn't buy a jersey today, but I would have been. We were looking at the jerseys and trying to determine, because we knew that those players weren't going to be there. And I remember we looked at a Troy Murphy jersey, a Mike Dunleavy jersey, and a Danny Granger jersey. And we were like, the only one that we can guarantee will probably be here is Danny Granger. So I got that one. I still have it. My decent Danny Granger jersey.
Funny thing is that Troy Murphy ended up playing for the Lakers later on. And that feels like a forgotten period of time, but he did play for the Lakers for a little bit.
Yeah. Just like
Andrew. Didn't even Adam forgot.
Just like Andrew Bynum played for the Pacers.
That I remember. But are we sure that Troy Murphy
did.
And Chris Mim aren't the same person?
That's funny.
Yeah. So, also, Adam revealed in that lost episode that he used to root for the Lakers, too.
Yeah, when I was growing up, it was right in the heart of Showtime era. And when I say when I was growing up, I mean like I was like 8 years old. So, you know, it was sort of a formative experience, and everyone was always on one side or the other. You know, you're either pro Boston or pro Lakers. Even if like obviously every team had their own fan base. But you had a preference because they were such diametric opposites. My dad was very pro Celtics, and so naturally he is now the dad from Get Out. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
But I had an older brother who had a James Worthy poster on his wall when I was growing up, and the Lakers were, how you say, fun to watch. You know, it was showtime. So, and it's not like there were better options in Iowa. and I never really warmed to Michael Jordan either. So, yeah, I was a Lakers fan for quite a while. That was my first and for a long time my only team, to the point where Robert Horry's big shot, you know, the shot, was on my 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. And that was a cool, incredible experience.
That's awesome.
And then they went with Kobe instead of Shaq. And I was out. I had a revulsion in my heart, and I still do to this day, for Kobe, for obvious reasons. and, well, obvious and numerous, and yeah. So, I said, you know what, I'm not rolling with them after this. I don't need this. And there was, you know, there were other teams that were more fun to watch at that point anyway. And I felt pretty vindicated by the fact that Shaq ended up winning a title with Miami and Kobe was screwing around with Smush Parker. oh, good. Karma. And then the 10 years after that happened and I was not quite as vindicated. But point remains. If this podcast had come out 15 years ago, it would be an entirely Lakers podcast.
Absolutely.
Right. With you in Chicago and me in Iowa and Whitney in Indiana. You were in Indiana 15 years ago too?
Yeah, I was here cheering for Kobe.
Yep. Yep.
Did you just say Chicago for me? I never lived in Chicago.
Did I? I meant California.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God. Why would I? Oh,
they sound the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sound the same.
There's
yeah.
Words. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, Adam, you're just rooting for players now at this point, or whatever, or was it a good story? Yeah. That's fine.
Right. So yeah. I rooted for Dirk in the Mavs Heat finals, and that was cool. Cool and good. And I've been rooting for LeBron recently because he is the greatest player of all time. And I think people don't appreciate that. And, who knows what's next? Maybe it's Embiid. That would be cool.
Right.
You know, we talked about this a little on podcast take one. And it made me think about it because I feel like I'm headed that way with like pretty sure Paul George is going to leave. And I feel like I'm headed towards like just cheering for players instead of teams. But I thought about it during March Madness because I was seeing these people on TV, you know, just having these like their hearts just breaking in half, like because they follow these teams so intensely. And I was like, you know what? I don't have that anymore. And I was like, I think I really am. I think I might be teamless soon, which is weird, but I don't have that. Yeah. I don't have that like burning, I don't know, whatever pain/joy that you get from following a team anymore.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I still root for the Lakers, but I'm not going to be mad. I'm not even mad now that they're like 20-51. You know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, cool, mm-hmm. whatever, you know?
Yeah, I just watched the Pacers game tonight, and they wasted a good Paul George night, and they're going to continue to do it, and I just kind of stared at the TV blankly. Like, I didn't really, really have any emotions.
Yeah, like... like I had this disdain for the Cavs like a while back, but I was so happy for them when they won last year. Like it was such a different feeling. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I'm happy for Cleveland. You know, I'm happy for my friends in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am now. I don't know if I've gotten soft in my old age or whatever, but that's how I feel. It's like I want everybody to do well, regardless of what affiliation or what organization they're in.
Yeah, and I think the thing of it is. Is for me, it was okay. Shaq's my favorite player because at that point I was like, I mean, come on, especially Lakers era Shaq. He was a unique and otherworldly force. And so when that whole split was going on in my head, I couldn't justify to myself saying, well, okay, if he leaves, then I can't like him anymore because he won't be a Laker. No, right. I still wanted to like Shaq. And so, like, when if Paul George, God forbid, if he's not a Pacer next year or the year after that, like, so you're not going to like him anymore?
Like, right, like, I'm absolutely, silly. Like, if he leaves, I think he probably made the right decision, and I will absolutely cheer for him wherever he goes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier that way.
Yeah, like if he goes to the Lakers, which was Whitney's.
That's my first. Pick. That's my first pick. I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want him to go to the Celtics. They cheered for him tonight. He played really well, and they cheered for him, and I didn't like it.
So what if he does go to the Celtics? Like, what are you? Are you going to be angry, or are you okay with that?
I won't be angry, but I don't know. I don't know how to express my feelings. I don't know how to put my feelings into words right now. I don't know. I guess when you watch a player, like, grow up, this is just like a selfish fan thing. This is not,
this
is nothing more than that. So we watched Paul George grow up, and then I watched him break his leg on TV and watched him come back. And I guess for some reason, like, as a fan, I feel like there's a handful of teams that I'm okay if he goes to, and then others will just feel strange.
I guess, I don't know, like, you know, I wasn't going to be, Eddie Jones was one of my favorite players growing up, too. So, when he went to Charlotte on a trade, it's like, okay, I'll watch more Hornets games, even though he's, you know, the enemy now or whatever. You just can't help but like some players, you know, and you keep rooting for them regardless. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
There is an issue where if some player does your team dirty, I feel like you can dislike them. Like, I am not opposed to the idea of disliking players. Like, when Carlos Boozer pulled that move, I get it. And I even get why some Cleveland fans turn LeBron. I get that. I wasn't one of them. Like, I thought it was funny. But, you know, that was never my team to begin with. It wasn't my heart he was trying to rip out. I understand deciding, screw that guy forever. But if it's just something where it's a business, like, Thunder fans aren't ever going to hate James Harden. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's not his fault he got traded for a couple pennies and he's a $20 bill.
Right.
It's not his fault that he's in Houston now. So I totally get why they might dislike Kevin Durant. They're wrong, but I get it. So I'm not advocating that go away or that nobody should have a team. But this is, I enjoy living like this now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm headed there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have friends who will dislike Elton Brand forever. Because when Baron Davis went there, it was expected to be Baron Davis and Elton Brand teaming up for the Clippers, right? But Elton Brand instead bolted for the Sixers, and they will never bring him up for that. So, and they still feel that way. And that's like, what? 8 years later? Something like that? Whatever? Yeah. It's been a long time. They still won't forgive him. So, yeah. Sports are funny that way, I guess. Gives you those, you know, strong feelings for something.
Hey, everyone. I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
Well, it's not far down to paradise. At least it's not for me. And if the wind is right, sail away and find tranquility. Oh, the canvas can do miracles. Just you wait and see. Baby, believe me. Oh, it's not far to Never Never Land. No reason to pretend. And if the wind is right, you can find the joy of innocence again.
Keith Boss Claus is here chilling with us on Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
The hot topic as of late in the NBA, which is kind of funny to me because it's been discussed so many times, hell, even the last few years or so, but the rest by NBA players, like the Cavs took a day off on Saturday night, and the week before that, the Warriors took a day off just for resting purposes and whatnot. And old heads are not happy. The TV execs are not happy. The NBA is not happy. And but we all know that, you know, with all the science and analytics going on, it's best for those teams to rest their players so they can be fresh come April through June. So I want to know what your feelings are all about that, because I just think that it's silly that they keep trying to have solutions for it, and they talk about it week after week after week. It's the same old tired topic, but yet here we are.
Whitney, you want this one first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Well, I think like they've obviously gotten themselves into a dilemma, because like the smarter teams get about things, they know that the players need the rest, and the NBA needs to keep the schedule as long as they do because it's about money, and
yeah,
making it shorter is going to hurt them. So I think that they've gotten themselves into a tricky position. And the thing is like the coaches that are doing it are the top coaches and teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're being respectful about it too. So it's like you have these coaches saying like, yeah, I'm sitting my guys, and yeah, I hear you that it's bad, but like, what else do you want me to do about it? I just think they've found like just a little dilemma, and I don't know how quite they'll get out of it. Just because there is proof that the rest helps and the NBA needs the money. So I'm sure they'll work together and come with some sort of agreement. I guess I don't really care that fans get upset, and that's probably rude, but like I like, again, as a Kobe fan who he only comes to or when he played he only came to Indianapolis once a year, like I was always fully aware that I was buying a ticket and he could be hurt, or and Kobe didn't really take nights off, so it's not an example of that, but like in
yeah,
terms of him like being hurt or something, like I don't know, you know it's a risk that you take, and so I don't really get into the whole like the fans deserve to see it. That said, it is a league based off superstars, and it's a league like no other where you want to see certain people play. And in football, they're, you know, they wear helmets, so you don't see their faces. But in basketball, it's such a league where you feel so connected to the players that, I mean, I get it. So I don't know. It's kind of, it's a tangled web that I'm not sure how they're going to get out of.
Yeah, I think Adam Silver mentioned that they would extend the season, take away some preseason games, and start the season earlier, about a week or two or something like that. And you mentioned only the top teams do it, while Russell Westbrook and James Harden have played every game this season.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And we know how Westbrook goes. Like, that guy doesn't stop.
Yeah, and there's like, you know? There's a, I heard somebody make a counterpoint too about how, like, it's a little unfair because there are teams that can afford to take rest. Like, I don't mean to keep using the same two players, but like the Pacers can't afford for Paul George to take nights off. Like,
yeah,
even if he needs the rest, like they can't afford it. They're not that good, and they're trying to make the playoffs. And if he takes a night off for rest, it doesn't work. So it's like almost a privilege then that the better teams can even afford to do such a thing. So I don't know. I think it's a pretty interesting dilemma.
I know that I complain about how they talk about this week after week after week, but in the grand scheme of things, it's a fairly new thing. Like, the Spurs started doing it, like, mm-hmm. 2012, and then they got fined because
right,
Popovich decided to rest, you know, Parker, Ginobili, Duncan, and Danny Green at the time. They got fined, like, $250,000.
Right. I could definitely see them, I mean, harping on the fact that, like, okay, you can give your players rest, but you can't do it on marquee games, which is a weird thing to do. Like, you're mm-hmm. obviously punishing a certain caliber of team, but like, it's weird because it's based on money and it's based on the stars. And but you still, I mean, the NBA obviously wants the stars healthy in June and not injured. So
And it's weird because they can get around that. It's like, oh, you want our players to play? Fine. They come in the first 5 minutes and pick them out.
Right.
And they the rest of the game. So, yeah. I don't think that's a solution, really.
No, that's, yeah, that's, the problem is there's no incentive for teams to make sure that their players play, you know, as many games as possible. And it's not as if it's the players taking themselves out. You know what I mean? Tim Duncan wasn't saying, yeah, coach, I'm not up for this. That would never fly. Right. I mean, maybe yeah. Tim Duncan gets to say that, but, like, Tony Parker doesn't.
Right.
Kevin Love doesn't get to say, hey, Coach Lou, no. My dogs are barking, Tyron, Coach Tyron. No. So it's a team decision. It's a coaching decision and a training decision, and not necessarily a situation like Jalen Rose was talking about, where the trainer says, "No, this guy can't go."
Right.
Nobody's disputing any situation like that, but it's, you know, these metrics that they're using, where you know, they can measure, hey, there's a sort of a critical level of fatigue in this guy's muscles. If we play him, he's at an elevated risk of an injury from overuse. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? So he can go. You know, you can even play him 20 minutes, maybe, but the way the schedule is set up, if you really want to play these guys full bore in the playoffs, if you really want to win a championship, that's the goal, right? Then they can't play 82 games. Well, or let me back that up. They shouldn't play 82 games in that window of a schedule. And that is what the NBA needs to fix. It's not a matter of, you know, coaches with an FU sort of attitude towards the fans. I mean, okay, Popovich is a little bit that. but that's not the impetus behind the decision. It's a matter of making sure that these guys don't wear themselves out, and right now the schedule doesn't play into that goal. So I like the idea of cutting out some of the preseason. I like the idea of extending the season. Frankly, I don't really think that they need 82 games. It's going to stink for players, especially like, well, LeBron for one. But anyone who's got long seasons and wants to rack up those career numbers, or even like season high numbers, you know, there's going to be some
right
accumulation type of records that just aren't going to be met. You know, no one's going to touch Steph Curry's 3 points in a season total if it's a 70 game season. It's just going to be impossible at that point. But if you really want high quality playoffs, and let's be honest, there have been a lot of players missing in the last 5 years from those, and it has definitely affected the competitive balance. You know, we're not talking about, oh, Boris Diaw was limited for a couple games. Like,
I'm gonna say like something super like I don't have the stats to back it up, but like 3 or 4 years ago, we went through like a huge injury problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know what year that was. Maybe 13 or 12 or 13. I don't know. But it seems like we're in a little bit better of a place now, just because teams have been trying to take better care and they're doing different things. So, I mean, I feel like the teams are right in what they're doing.
Yeah, and this is not guesswork on their part. It's
right.
Not a, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you sit. This is really, really closely monitored stuff, and I get that Adam Silver doesn't like that, and it doesn't play into his goals, but, you know, when we get situations where, I mean, what team was it? Was it the Warriors that made it all the way through, or maybe the Heat that made it all the way through to the NBA Finals without playing anyone who had their starting point guard? Wasn't that the situation with one of the NBA Finals teams 1 year, like very recently?
Wasn't it the Warriors on their side or something?
Yeah, that
I think so.
About right. And I think it was the year that Irving ended up going out in game one of the finals, right, too. So,
right. Yeah.
It definitely puts a negative spin on it for fans that a much, much more dire sense than when some, you know, third team All-NBA guy sits on the second game of a back-to-back. That might bum out the fans who showed up to the game. But it's a much, much smaller problem than people thinking, yeah, well, that playoff run's bogus. I don't respect it. You know, that is a whole different, bigger problem. So
isn't it, though, like, not the more we talk about it, isn't it, though, like, 10 games a year that this really matters?
Here's
the thing. I'm looking at this right now, okay? LeBron James only missed 6 regular season games last year.
Yeah. And, like, he's right. Like, this only matters for a couple players.
Yeah, it is.
And he's one of them. And so, like, it's a handful of games that there are superstars involved that it's just, like, are going to have an asterisk by them or something that says, like, you cannot rest your player on this night, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'll get a bit deeper. Curry missed only 3 games last season. He only missed 2 games 2 seasons ago. And this year, he's only missed 2 games. So it's not like this happens frequently. It's only certain games.
Mm-hmm.
It just happen to be marquee games, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the last, I just looked it up, in the last decade plus of Tim Duncan's career, you know, Mr. DNP old himself. I mean, he played in at least 74 games in all but, in 8 of those 11 years. And a couple more were 69 games, nice, 60 and 58. And, like, those were, you know, injury seasons. So even, like, the worst guy, quote, worst rest guy, we're not talking about a serious situation for him. Oh, crap. Hang on.
That's the ringtone that my work phone used to be, and it makes me cringe.
This is Harrison Fagan from Silver Screen and Roll. You're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Yeah, I'm just looking up stats here. Kawhi Leonard missed 10 games last season.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
they're the most notorious for missing games, are the Spurs, right?
Right.
2 seasons ago, 64 games. Their title year, 60.
But, like, let's be honest, there's no Spurs fan that cares.
Yeah, they know that this is going on.
It's the LeBron fans that live in some random city. Like, it's a weird epidemic thing that's happening because the NBA is going to try to make these big changes, and it really only affects a sprinkling of games.
Yeah, and again, like, and there's that time also where LeBron James took like a 2-week vacation.
Yep,
like early in the season.
Yep.
So
yep.
Yeah, LeBron's right. It only affects him and a handful of players. And we mentioned the Warriors, and they only miss like 2 or 3 games.
Right.
Because I'm not even sure if Curry will miss another game this regular season now.
Right. Like, if Russ doesn't take games off, like I think it would probably be a bummer if the Thunder were a marquee game and Russ sat out. He would fall into that category, but
he hasn't sat out a game.
He doesn't take breaks, so.
Which is actually incredible because he's had 3 knee surgeries in like a year, right?
Yeah. And he's incredible.
Yeah, so for him to move at that speed,
yeah,
and he just doesn't get tired. And, you know, I want to bring up his numbers while we wait for Adam here. 31.2 points per game, 10.5 rebounds per game, 10.4 assists. He has 35 triple-doubles this season.
Insane. It's just
yeah,
insane.
So. It's crazy. Like I never thought I would see this kind of season where he would have 35 triple doubles.
And he's not going to be the MVP, I don't think.
Yeah, because that's probably going to go to James Harden,
yep,
who, by the way, has 19 triple doubles, 29.4, 8.1, 11.2.
And Harden, I don't know how many it is, but he is setting a record for most 40-point triple doubles. I think.
I think he has like 7.
Which is stupid. That's dumb. Like how do you even?
And then he has 2 50-point triple
doubles. Crazy.
Which, by the way, Westbrook did earlier this season, but Westbrook and Harden are the first 2 players to do that in the last 41 years or so.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And one of them has to lose the MVP.
Yeah. And,
so it was crazy.
And I know we talked about this last time, too. Like, you can absolutely argue that LeBron should just be the MVP.
Every season.
Every time.
Yeah, like how it was when Michael Jordan was the MVP.
Yeah.
Every year, but he didn't win that one time when Karl Malone won for some reason, right? Oh. Which I felt like was a pity MVP to him, honestly. I don't know. I like Karl Malone, the player.
Right.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this? Yeah,
yo, what's up, guys?
What's up, man? Boys have been in effect, yeah, and it's about time. Yo, let's rip this up.
Boys have been, boys have been, boys have been, boys have been.
Skip the beat,
nah.
While cooling on South Street, jet black bands, plenty of friends,
and all the Philly steaks you can eat.
Back in school, we used to.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
Yeah, so Adam had to go, so we'll go on without him. But I do want to get back to, you mentioned the evolution of basketball Twitter, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny because I remember players like, say, C.J. Miles and Jared Dudley and Earl Watson, all those guys, they would be in a hidden location. They'll give, like, a clue, and then if they find them, you get tickets.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
And how come they don't do that anymore?
Yeah, because it's too big now. Like, it used to be, like, this little club, like an exclusive club or something. And
right.
There were... I don't know how many of us there were, but, like, we would do the same thing we do now, which is sit at home and watch League Pass all night, but I don't know, it was less commercialized back then. And it was like, you know, just people hanging out, and then it became a moneymaker and things changed. But, yeah, I mean, just thinking about, like, the late nights, like, I know the basketball Twitter, like, used to, like, once the games would end, would, like, keep talking to each other all night about, like, random topics.
I mean, we still do.
We still do,
like,
but it's nothing like it was.
Yeah, because, again, you mentioned that it was kind of like an exclusive club, and I keep bringing this up, but in 2008, 2009, Twitter was just filled with Blazers and Suns fans, and we would always joke, hey, Twitter's gonna die because Phoenix and Portland are on TNT, and it was, like, the weirdest thing ever.
Right?
Like, those two random teams,
yeah.
The two small market teams, right?
Yeah.
So, and now it's like, oh, obviously Laker fans are taking over, and, you know, LeBron fans and Clipper fans or whatever. Like, it's a huge thing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like we become friends with basically every fans from each team fan base.
Right.
Like, it's kind of cool now that we have, you know, Grizzlies fan friends and
exactly.
Clip. Yeah, all that. And Pacer fan friends, like, just like you and Jared, basically, and that's it, right?
Right, that's it. Those are four, but,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was like, I try to think back to, like, those early days, like, of who I would follow. I think things were so different. So different.
Yeah.
There's
a
lot more shenanigans back then, I feel like. There's still shenanigans now, but, like, people are, like, there's, like, a news cycle and people are covering their teams. Like, I feel like it was more like hanging out in, like, a friend's basement back then.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And I remember when players themselves would go ahead, like, obviously there's Instagram stories now, right? They record videos of themselves, or just Snapchat, mm-hmm. right? But back then there was Ustream with Stephon Marbury, right?
Yeah.
Like, He would stream himself for, like, the entire day just doing things.
Yeah.
And here we are just watching him, like, what's he going to do next? And he's on all the time.
I remember when, like, I think it was maybe the 2012 Olympics was the first time we saw like NBA players really use Instagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now it's like one of the first ways that you get information from them. It's almost like players don't tweet even anymore as much. Like if you want to know stuff about them, like you're probably going to see it on Instagram before you'll see it on Twitter. But yeah, it has grown, but I mean in insane ways, from back in the day.
Yeah, like they use every aspect of social media now. Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, obviously some people still use Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's just insane like how it's grown from like into this. And the NBA knows how to take advantage of social media, where I think the other leagues aren't really so versed in that.
I mean,
that.
That's,
like,
the NBA absolutely is the best league of like embracing and knowing that their fans are on the internet and they're sharing the content all day, every day, and they embrace it. Yeah, it's great how the NBA has kind of recognized what basketball Twitter is and, you know, let people go crazy with it.
Yeah, I think I remember Adam Silver saying how he doesn't really stop players, or fans from sharing NBA footage, whether it's a Vine,
mm-hmm.
or
rest in peace.
YouTube videos and stuff like that. It's because they notice that like it's a marketing thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then they decide like, oh well, you know, that means more fans will get exposed to their product, and then they'll buy a league pass or whatever, you know. So they know that it only gives them more publicity.
The only complaint I have is that they know that we all buy league pass, and it's still crap.
Yeah,
like they know that. They know that we live on it. They know that there's, you know, this. I mean, it's not even like a subsection. Like NBA fans are following the NBA all the time now. It's not even like the diehards. It's, you know, it's like the NBA fan culture. I mean, they live on League Pass, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's awful streaming it. Sometimes I just settle on just watching the, you know, on TV instead. But it's not as fun because you can't catch your video or whatever. Like
yeah,
that, you know?
And also too, like, just talking about how it's evolved, like, people don't say League Pass Alert anymore. Like, do you remember how that was such a big deal?
I know. That used to be like my main hashtag back then. Like, oh, League Pass Alert,
that was such
you know?
A big deal. Like,
yeah, not so much anymore.
It's like, I think it's just because everybody has it and everybody's following it and you can follow games so many ways that it's just changed. But like, I mean, League Pass Alert was a big deal.
Yeah, like, it hasn't been really a thing for like the last, I'd say, 2-3 seasons now.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so much more, first of all, there's so much more basketball TV now with ABC doing Saturday nights as well.
There's games every night on TV almost that you can watch.
Yeah, NBA TV has more games each week.
Yep.
TNT has gone Monday and Thursday now.
Yep. And then ESPN's Wednesday and Friday. And
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, if you have NBA TV, then you can watch a game on TV every night of the week.
Yeah, and then they'll show, you know, and they'll show the endings of some games that are not on regular TV. So if you're watching NBA Game Time or something like that,
yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Kristen Ledlow, by the way.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Is that a ghost?
Ooh. Sorry about that. I had to dip out. I had it on DirecTV, and then I had to move to a place that only got local cable. You hate to see that because in Iowa, no one's voluntarily giving you NBA TV in Iowa.
Right.
Do we have a D League team? Yes. Is the D League team's web address iowanba.com? Yes. But it's still our old local companies. No love. Don't even have MLB TV.
Ooh.
Which is, yeah, maybe it's not an Iowa thing. Maybe it's just a my cable company deserves to be thrown in the garbage thing. Maybe it's that. Either way.
Most cable companies do, but yours sounds exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exceptional is a very pleasant word for it.
Exceptionally bad.
Yeah. I was just going to say, man, we spend $200 around October, November, just to get League Pass, and then it's crap, right?
Yeah.
Like, this.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, it says it's $6.99 now, apparently, for, like, the last month of the season.
Gosh. For League Pass.
That's actually a pretty cheap deal.
Especially $7. There's probably a good handful of people that are just now starting to follow the NBA a little bit closer, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you mentioned it. Like, everyone follows it now, you know, especially if, you know, you're on basketball Twitter or whatever, you know. So
for sure.
It's crazy. Yeah. Adam, do you have anything else to say about this? Have you been listening the entire time?
No. I picked it up when we were talking about NBA TV. What's the topic?
No, we were talking about, like, the evolution of basketball Twitter, basically.
Oh, how,
yeah, like, there's no more League Pass alerts these days, and how players used to give tickets by saying, find me in this location, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That was the best.
Yeah.
And I say that from somebody, or as somebody, where the players never ended up in Des Moines or Iowa City. Weird. It's interesting and fun and sort of amazing to see how basketball Twitter has morphed it from this little niche pocket where if you made a name for yourself early, it's something that you are still absolutely reaping the benefits of today. To something that is absolutely mainstream. I think that if you looked at what constitutes mainstream basketball culture, you would see basketball Twitter. And I don't know how many sports you could say that about.
Yeah. Adam whether, just came in and, like, summed up everything I tried to say in the most beautiful way.
Aww.
So it was nice.
Greatest storyteller of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right. I was listening. No, it's been cool and fun to watch and be a very ancillary viewer of. I'm not going to say I'm part of NBA Twitter. I have like three guys that follow me. And I'm talking to two of them.
The other is Zach Harper, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was Talk Hoops and Inside Hoops. And I meant to follow Inside Hoops, but I followed Talk Hoops. That is dead ass true. Turns out different accounts. Different views.
That's funny.
Love you, Zach.
Before I end this episode, I guess, I have a story with Inside Hoops. So I met him in Vegas Summer League, which was where I meet everybody anyway. And Inside Hoops decided that he needed a ride to some hotel, right? And my cousin was driving, and while we were driving, our car broke down. So I just, like, spent, like, 20 minutes talking to Inside Hoops about stuff, and it was kind of cool. So, yeah, I never saw him again after that. But it was really Inside Hoops. Like, his name is Jeff, and I think he still runs the account for Inside Hoops. But yeah, so shout out to Jeff from Inside Hoops, wherever you are these days. I guess still hiding on Twitter, I guess, or whatever. So actually, I haven't really talked to him in a long time either on Twitter. So yeah, that's it. So we'll end the episode here. So Whitney, go ahead and advertise your social media and your internet works.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter. The name is @itswhitney, _ between its and Whitney. So @its_Whitney, you can follow me there. You can find me on SBNation.com. Just click on NBA and you will find me there. I do a lot of the social stuff for the site. So all the guys like Flannery and Tom Ziller, make sure that all the awesome stuff that they're writing is getting out into the world. So, but yeah, follow me. And hopefully I'll be back on here at some point to
to talk basketball with these guys.
Yeah, and Paul and Tom, man, part of old school basketball Twitter as well.
Yeah, for sure.
They've been around for as long as I can remember, too. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Adam, your social media and internet works.
As always, you can find my Twitter.com usage at A+K. I am the foremost alumni of That 70s Show turned philanthropist. I am actually Ashton Kutcher. Surprise. Now, you can find me at Adam_Jacoby, underscore, as always, critically important. And you can find my writings and works and all things Iowa Hawkeyes at GoIowaAwesome.com.
And Adam, if you will, go ahead and wrap it up and give some advice to our audience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I know these are tough times for everybody, myself included, probably everybody here. But listen, from one hurting soul to another, there's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for wasting my time. Before I absolutely end this episode, just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and you can download the show on Stitcher and RareRay.net. Follow me on Twitter at TheNolasPass, and follow the podcast Twitter at RareRayIsFun, because you cannot fit RareRayIsFundamental in a Twitter handle. They only allow 16 characters. So that is it. I am done. We'll talk to you guys in the next episode. For Adam Jacoby and Whitney Medworth, I am Ray Ray, the guy on the top of the stairs, the sexy party host. I'm gone!
Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Mo did.